All right, so last week we began our study into the book of Ruth, and I hope that you have been reading along with us the past couple weeks. Like I said, this is something totally different, at least in my, actually, I think it's a year today, a year of ministry together. We haven't done a book study yet, and be able just to kind of just read the stuff together, and we know what's coming next week. And so I hope that you've been reading along in your own devotional life. So last week, we saw tragedy strike Naomi's life again and again. Her husband was disobedient to God. Her family experienced famine. Can you imagine a mother watching her children go hungry? This is Naomi's life. Then she dealt with the death of her husband. She watched as her two sons grew up, married two pagan women that did not know Yahweh. She watched for 10 years as her boys dealt with childlessness within their marriages. And then she had to deal with the death of her own two sons. God didn't merely allow adversity into Naomi's life. Naomi has been shaped by her suffering. And shortly after the death of her two sons, she just hears that God is working again in Bethlehem. The famine is lifted. There's food being provided for. So she decided to go back to Bethlehem, to go back home. And she isn't alone. There's two women who want to go back with Naomi to Bethlehem. And it's upon this truth that we continue our reading into the book of Ruth. Even though Naomi has lost so much, and she thinks that God is against her, and she straight up said that last week, she has two daughters who are there for her. So this morning is all about relationships and God's providence. God has a particular aim in us developing relationships with people. And it's upon that idea we get to the proposition. And the proposition is that God displays his sovereign care through authentic relationships. This is how God works. He has an intention behind us in relationships. So let's unpack this statement for a moment. Relationships are meant to exhibit God. Human beings, we are relational beings, and we are relational because this is how our Creator made us and shaped us. He exists perfectly and joyfully in a three-in-one relationship from eternity past to eternity present and future. Our God is a relational God, and God created us, and He crafted us to display His care and how we develop relationships with one another. God designed relationships to help those who are suffering, for those who are experiencing lows in life, to know that God is in control, that He cares, that He is present, and that He is not absent in your life. And this is what I mean by authentic relationships. And my fear, and this is about churches just today in general, not just about our church, but I fear that in churches today, there's little opportunity in the life and the strategy of a church to create this type of relationship. But God desires this for all Christ followers. God wants Christ followers to develop authentic relationships with one another. We all have relationships. We have our spouses. We have our children. We have family members. We have parents. We have friends and coworkers. We have tons and tons of relationships that we are exposed to. But many of these relationships are not authentic, meaning that they are not living out their God-intended design for life. They're not fulfilling their God-given function. Authentic relationships gives the encouragement to go on, keep striving with God, keep pushing, even though it may feel right to just give up, to stop doing what you're doing, just move on. Authentic relationships desires to be used by God so that the other person, their hope, their joy in the Lord can be deepened through your example, through your relationship to them. And I fear that there's many Christians today that don't have this type of relationship with someone. We have people we hang out with. We have people we go out to dinner with. We do all the functions with. But some of us do not have people in our lives that can speak into our soul, that can comfort us, that can share from their experiences to know, I've been through it. God is here. God can still give hope. There can still be joy. And these are the types of relationships that as your pastor, I pray that you would develop every single day. And it's scary. It's tough. I know. I've been burned by people I've shared my soul with. But this is also why you should be inviting your friends and your loved ones to Heritage. At Heritage, we have this opportunity to expose people to this type of relationship, to model this type of relationship with people because they desperately need it. So let's see how these three women begin to display God's sovereign care for one another. So we're going to be reading Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 to 22. So let's go ahead and let's read it together. It says, "And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.' But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me and worse if anything but death separates you and me.' When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, 'Is this Naomi?' She said to them, 'Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?' So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess and daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." So in today's text, we see relationships and how they can take two totally different paths. And here's the thing about adversity that we need to learn. Adversity creates a crossroads for you in life. If you are experiencing adversity right now, you are at a crossroad. You are at a crisis of faith. When adversity strikes, there are several different roads, different pathways that we can take. Orpah and Ruth embarked on two totally different pathways in their response to watching Naomi's adversity. And we still see that Naomi is overwhelmed with grief and sadness and bitterness. God provides for two women to return to Bethlehem. And when Naomi is reunited with the women of Bethlehem, all she tells them about is grief upon grief. She's yet to realize the beautiful relationship that she has right next to her in Ruth. So let's take a look at Ruth, what she says to Naomi, so that we can see what God believes about womanhood and relationships and, of course, his own sovereign care. So let's get to point one. Point one is that Ruth's faithfulness is founded on God's providence. Ruth demonstrates an unparalleled faithfulness and devotion to Naomi. We're going to get to her declaration in a moment. These are by far, this is probably my favorite verses in the whole book. But first, let's see what led her there. Let's look at 14, verse 14 together. Verse 14 says, "And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." Now, after hearing Naomi say that God's hand was against her, the three women, they cry, they mourn, they grieve together. And I want you to see the contrast between Orpah and Ruth here. You cannot miss it. Orpah kisses Naomi. But Ruth, she clings to her. She's literally attached to her. She will not let Naomi go. And we see why Naomi kisses her as opposed to cling to her like Ruth. And we see it because of verse 15. Let's look at it. Verse 15 says, "Then she said, 'Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.'" Orpah gives up. Orpah goes back to Moab. Naomi has convinced Orpah to go back to Moab, to give up. And Naomi uses Orpah's desertion as just more evidence and more motivation for Ruth to give up and to go back home. Naomi tells us that Orpah has gone back to her family, and more importantly, she's gone back to her gods, her old way of living before she was exposed to Naomi. Naomi spent 10 years with this woman as a mother-in-law, building her up, encouraging her, being an example for her. And at this low point in adversity, Orpah deserts. She goes back home. And we learn a principle from Orpah. Adversity reveals the loyalty of a relationship. And that is a truth that we have to take home, church. God promises to never leave us, to be powerfully present no matter where we go. That promise in Matthew 28 that we ended our substitute series, it's true for us for all time. He is always present. Relationships are authentic and genuine when they survive suffering, they survive the adversity, and they even thrive within it. We as Christians, as Christ followers, we are to model that type of loyalty in our relationships because that's going to point them to Jesus. And that is the point of all relationships, that as a result of you and I getting to know each other, your faith in Jesus is strengthened. So let's look at Ruth's response. Now let's get to the good verses. In verse 16, it says, "But Ruth said, 'Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you.'" The Hebrew word for urge literally means to force, a physical force. This is the only way Ruth says that she'll leave Naomi. Naomi's going to have to push her out. She's going to have to push her back to Moab if she really wants her to desert Naomi. And Ruth begs Naomi, "Don't do this. Don't do this to me. I want to follow you." Now the question becomes, why? Why follow Naomi? Why not leave her? Why not go back to Moab? Why not return with Orpah? Why follow a woman who has been devastated by death? Maybe the Lord's hand really is against her. Why stick around even to find out? If death and devastation came to Naomi, maybe it's going to come to Ruth too. Why follow this woman? The next two verses tells us why. Ruth will not leave Naomi because she has made a covenant of faithfulness to her. So let's get to these great verses together. Moving on in verse 16, she says, "For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge." That's where we get the lyrics to the song that we just sang, "I Will Follow You." The chorus says, "Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. When you move, I move. I will follow you." It is based on this text right here. So this is what Ruth is saying. Where Naomi goes, Ruth will go. Where Naomi stays, Ruth will stay. This is Ruth's devotion to Naomi. She vows to be present in Naomi's life, no matter what. So women of Heritage, let me talk to you for a moment. Ruth gives you a pattern to follow as you seek to develop relationships with other women. There's a pattern in here that you are encouraged to follow. Finding Naomi and put yourself under her. That's the principle. Find someone who really knows God and watch her. Watch her example. Watch her suffer through adversity. Be a companion to her. But Ruth's covenant doesn't just merely stop with company. I promise just to always be here with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. There's more to this covenant. Look at the next phrase. She says, "Your people shall be my people and your God, my God." The God of Naomi has become the God of Ruth. Ruth has come to know Yahweh through Naomi. This is the goal of all relationships, church. Relationships do not exist for your entertainment. Relationships do not exist so the other person can meet your needs. Relationships are designed to expose people to God, just like Naomi did with Ruth. Through the last decade, Ruth has learned about God through Naomi's example. Ruth's faith in God fuels her faithfulness to Naomi. And this is the only way that a young woman can leave behind her home, her gods, her people, her cultural traditions. This is the only way that a woman can give up on remarrying and finding hope and joy in marriage and through bearing children and raising up a family. She's saying no to all of that. God has to move in her to be able to do this. There's no other way a person can do this unless they are fueled by God himself. No one can vow to do these things if not for the providence of God, for God working in them. Ruth will follow Naomi. Naomi's people will be Ruth's people. Ruth does not care about ethnic lines, Moabites versus Israelites. It doesn't matter to her. And it's all because Naomi's God is now Ruth's God. So women of Heritage, This is why you are called to build relationships. There is a Ruth somewhere out there that needs you. Ruth needs to watch you suffer. Ruth needs to watch the example that you set, because one day she's going to experience her own sufferings. Men of Heritage, my encouragement to you is this. We need to encourage the women in our lives to pursue this type of relationship. We have to let them go sometimes so they can go out and find a Ruth or find a Naomi and build something that will demonstrate the faithfulness of God. There is a Ruth somewhere out there that needs you right now. I'm convinced of it. She needs to watch your example. She needs to come to know the Lord through you. So the question is, are you building relationships like this? Are you building friendships with people to expose them to Jesus? If not, you are missing out on an opportunity to show God's sovereign care for them through you. My prayer for you is that you would reach out to these other women that you are exposed to, build authentic relationships with them that will fuel their desire for God. Let's look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." That is the intensity of this covenant. Ruth does not care about remarrying. She doesn't care about having children one day. Ruth wants to develop a relationship with Naomi, her mother-in-law. What can enable a woman to do this? To say, "Let nothing but death part you and me"? How can a woman do this? It has to be through the sovereign grace of God. Authentic relationships are meant to display God's sovereign care. Ruth's faithfulness is founded on God's sovereign provision. God is using Ruth to tell Naomi, "I'm here. I will always be here. No matter what you face, I will be faithful to you." So let's see Naomi's response to this. I think it's so curious how she responds in verse 18. I can't imagine another person being able to say, make that type of commitment to me and how I would respond, but we get to see her response. Let's look at verse 18. It says, "When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her." Naomi just gives up on trying to convince Ruth. Ruth was more relentless in her pursuit of Naomi than Naomi was relentless in her grief. And this is what we must show in our relationships with people. We're not going to give up. We are going to be more relentless in showing faithfulness to people and showing God's love to people than the other person will be in pushing us away or neglecting the relationship or just moving on. So, two women, they head on back to Bethlehem together. And let's see what happens when Naomi returns to Bethlehem. And we get to see it through point two. Point two is that Naomi attributed her afflictions to God's providence. "The Lord's against me." Despite Ruth's devotion, Naomi cannot see God's mercy yet. She can't see that God cares. He's showing his care through situations. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them." Two women travel a great distance alone. And there's no verse, there's no phrase that talks about any hiccups, any ordeals on this road back to Bethlehem. God protected them on their journey back to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem notices Naomi's return. It said that the city was stirred. And the Hebrew word for stirred means that there is this uproar. There's this big commotion going on in Bethlehem. People want to know, what is going on with Naomi? What is she doing here? So the women of Bethlehem approach these two ladies. And they're like, "Is this Naomi? Is that really Naomi? It's been probably decades since Naomi left with her husband Elimelech and her two boys." And Naomi begins to speak of her tragedies. Let's look at verse 20, church. Verse 20 says that she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara." Naomi's name in Hebrew means pleasant. It means delightful. It means graceful. I can't imagine what Naomi would look like, that her parents would cause her to be called Naomi. She does not feel delightful right now, church. She does not feel graceful. She does not feel pleasant. She wants a name change. And what does she want to be called? She wants to be called Mara. And Mara literally means to be bitter, to be discontent, to be dissatisfied. This is what she wants to be known as. She is so dissatisfied with how her life has turned out. Not a single thing has turned out the way that she wanted to. Do we feel the same sometimes, church? We wrestle with that, the very same thing. And once again, she attributes all of this to God. Let's look at the next phrase in the verse. The next phrase says that, "For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me." The Hebrew word for Almighty is Shaddai. You may know that's one of the names of God, El Shaddai. The Hebrew word Shaddai means to be burly, to be powerful, to be indomitable. There's nothing stronger than Shaddai. Naomi is saying, the one with all power has done this to me. He has made me bitter. Once again, Naomi is rightly attributing her tragedies to God. Nothing happens to us without first passing his hand. But as a human, she just can't see what God sees. She can't see what God is after. And her pain is still a roadblock. It's still blocking her to see what God is up to. She doesn't see God's faithfulness yet through Ruth, though we can as the reader. She doesn't recognize that she's back in Bethlehem, traveled a great distance, just hurt another woman with no complication. All she feels is her pain. All she feels is her bitterness. And verse 21 tells us how it all happened. Let's look at verse 21. It says, "I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." Ask yourself this. What made Naomi's life full? Was it God? Was it a relationship with God? What gave her fullness of life? It wasn't God. It was marriage. And it was family. That's what made Naomi feel significant. Here's what Naomi is saying. I had a husband. I had two sons. I was fulfilled. I was satisfied. I was happy. But God took it all away from me. All that I found satisfaction in, God took away. God emptied Naomi of all that made her feel worthwhile, of all that made her feel significant and important in life. So the tough question we have to ask is, why would God do this? Why would God take something away from a woman that made her feel valuable? We don't know the exact reason. The book doesn't give us an explanation for the why. But it may be that her husband and her family surpassed value and importance of God in her life. Marriage and family made Naomi's life full. Nothing else did. Nothing else says that God was more important than Elimelech. Naomi then ends with a question. She ends the verse by saying, "Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me." Naomi asks, what's delightful about my story? Why do you still call me Naomi? There's nothing delightful about me. There's nothing pleasant in my life. Two times, Naomi attributes her pain to God. First, she says that Yahweh, this is the eternal one, the uncreated one, the one who was and is to come. She says, Yahweh has witnessed against me. And the Hebrew word for witnessed is used elsewhere in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament scriptures, to mean to look down upon, or it's used in other places to physically hurt someone. This is what she's saying Yahweh has done to her. He's looking down on me. He's hurting me, himself. Then she says that Shaddai has afflicted her, that all-powerful one. And the Hebrew word for afflicted means to make someone feel worthless. And that's what she's saying about God right now. God is making me feel worthless. You ever feel like that? I felt like that. And I know our women, I know that there's times in your life where you have felt like that. God has broken her family. God has broken Naomi. And now Naomi is Mara. She is bitter. And then verse 22 closes out this chapter of tragedy. Verse 22 says, "So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab. This is how Naomi finally returns to Bethlehem, her hometown, her promised inheritance. Her husband is dead. Her boys are dead. But she's finally back home. She feels worthless. She feels hollow. But she's not alone. Ruth is right next to her. And we see the perfect timing of God in the very last sentence of chapter 1. Look at it with me. The last sentence says, "And they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest." It's harvest time right now in Bethlehem. Farmers have worked hard to prepare the land over the season. Remember, there was just famine for all these years. That's why Elimelech took his family and left. They're recovering from famine. So these farmers, they have uprooted, they have trimmed back, they have pruned, they have planted, they've tended, they've watered the crops to prepare for harvest. Now is harvest time. And it's also the time that Naomi returns home. God has also uprooted in her life. He's removed dead and dying plants. He has pruned and he has replanted her literally back in Bethlehem. And it's almost harvest time for Naomi. So what's going to be the fruits in Naomi's life? What's going to be the harvest that will be reaped in Naomi's life? That's what the rest of the series is about. We don't have it here at the end of chapter 1. We're going to have to see in the coming weeks. For now, we're left to ponder, how does this apply to us? Where do we go from here? So let's look at the point of application. The point of application is to cultivate the relationships God has committed to you. This point, it is central to the DNA, the identity of who we are as Heritage moving forward. That's the second part of our mission statement, our vision statement, to cultivate authentic relationships. We exist to develop Christ-centered, God-glorifying relationships with people. This is why we gather. When relationships like Ruth and Naomi's are developed and they flourish, God wins. God gets the glory because there's no other way people can do this for one another unless it is God motivating them. And I love the word cultivate. It's a gardening term. God has weeded and uprooted, removed the dead, literally in Naomi's life. He's pruned her. He's replanted her. God's been doing the same thing in the life of this church over the past year that we've been together. And God is going to continue to do this. He is going to continue to uproot and prune, and it's going to hurt. This relationship between Ruth and Naomi is 10 years in the making. Authentic relationships just don't happen overnight. Like we've been doing life group and gather for 7 months. It's not just gonna automatically happen. It's hard work to cultivate the ground. There are relationships like Ruth and Naomi's that God wants us to cultivate. You need to put yourself around other Christ followers so that they can encourage and challenge and be used by God to comfort you. There are many layers of relationships that God has entrusted to you. There are people that you know that I will never have a relationship with. God hasn't given them to me. He's given them to you. I can't reach them. I can't do it. God has put you to be around them. You have several different types of family relationships. We have the church family. We have friends and coworkers. God is calling you to specifically cultivate a relationship with someone in your sphere of influence, in these different circles of relationships that you have in your life. For some, you may have been through tragedies like Naomi. You've dealt with death. You have dealt with famine. And you are in need of a Ruth, someone to say, I'm going to be with you, buddy, always. I will always be with you. Some of you need to be a Ruth. You need to be a Ruth in someone's life. And you may not realize it yet, but God will use this relationship to restore joy to you. So women of Heritage, let me talk to you again. I know that God has a Ruth somewhere, maybe even in this church family, for you. And as men in your lives, I hope that we are encouraging you and we are providing opportunities for you to build authentic, Christ-driven relationships with other women. It's tough. It's tough to be transparent. It's tough to bear your soul. And by Christ-centered, I mean relationships that stick with each other through any adversity so that God can display his sovereign care through you or through that other person. many of us, they come and tell me, I don't feel God. I just don't feel joy. I don't feel anything in my spiritual life. There's no feeling between me and God. I don't feel. We don't feel His presence. We don't feel His goodness. And it may be that you do not feel God because you're not pursuing relationships with His people. Jesus isn't here in physical form anymore. There's a couple ways that we can know Him, through His word and through His people. So maybe it is that you're not exposing yourself to these Christ-centered relationships. And that's why you don't feel God. It's not because God is silent. God has moved and you're still right here doing the same thing you've always done your whole life. And then you wonder, where's God? For some women in the church, God is calling you to be a Ruth in Naomi's life. We have women here who are struggling. They have survived tragedies, but they're tired. And they are tempted just to give up in this sea of bitterness that they're barely staying afloat in. God wants you to display His loving kindness through your loyalty. Because God will use you the way God is going to use Ruth. So no matter if God is calling you to be a Ruth or whether you may feel like Naomi right now, it's just Mara, Mara. Bitterness, bitterness all over the place. How are you going to expose yourself to other women? That's the question, ladies. How are you going to do that? This is what church family is for. So men and women of Heritage, God has intentionally crafted this membership together. There's a reason why it's these particular people here right now on Sunday mornings. God knows what He's doing. God wants you to build a real, genuine, authentic relationship with someone where God can display His loving kindness through your loyalty. A couple of weeks ago at Gather, I shared a verse with you guys, and I said that this is a verse that I've really taken into my heart, into account, into how I build relationships with people. It's 2 Timothy 2:22. And here's what it says. It says, to flee from youthful lusts. Then it says, to pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace. And here's the key thing. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. The Christian life is not meant to be lived in isolation. If you're not building relationships with other Christ followers, you're not living the Christian life the way that God intended. We are meant, like this verse says, to forsake the lusts that formerly defined our lives before we were a Christ follower. My struggles, my lusts, they are different than yours. They are completely unique to me. But we are called to flee from them, to run away from them. As Christ followers, our lives are not meant to be defined by them. We are to flee the lusts of our lives before Christ and to pursue, relentlessly pursue Him. And God wants our pursuit of Him to be mutual, to be relational, for somebody to do it with you. He wants us to pursue Jesus with other people. And then there's a qualification for that. It says, with those who call upon the name of the Lord from a pure heart. These people that you're building your life around, they also have to be pursuing Jesus. God gave Ruth to Naomi. So have you found that relationship, ladies? Have you found that friendship? Have you found someone else who calls upon the name of the Lord that you can bear your soul to? God will use Ruth in the upcoming chapters to restore joy to Naomi. I cannot wait to get to the end of chapter 4. And this is God's promise to us, is the big point. So God is going to use Ruth. And God may want to use you as a Ruth to display goodness and mercy and care that only the Lord can do, no matter the highs, no matter the lows. If you are not building relationships with other Christ followers, you are blocking a pathway either for you to return to joy or for others to return to joy. Our church experiences, Sunday morning worship, Gather, life groups, are meant to expose you to other Christ followers. And if you are able to develop an authentic relationship with another Christ follower, God may use that as a pathway to display His sovereign care and to return to joy.